Good morning, everyone. It's Stony Island. I'm sorry, my voice, I started losing it a little bit the other day, but I said, man, I hope this is horrible timing, but I do like to stick to my you know, obligations and things that I say I'm going to do. So I'm glad I'm here and I could be with you all today. I won't be shouting, you know, or hollering or anything like that. All right, hold on one second. Let me get a sip. I thank you for your patience. Oh, yeah, that's working already. Hold on, let me get some more. Oh, man. Thank you all for your patience. I'm always glad to be here with you guys. Today, I want to encourage you guys along the lines of evangelism, you know, reaching those around you with the good news, with the gospel of Christ. So it's very important, obviously, that's our life. That's our life's journey is saving souls, right? Now, obviously, while we're trying to save souls, we want to make sure we save ourselves, as the Bible does tell us, save ourselves from, you know, a perverse generation. But we want to make sure that we understand, and I think this is a goal that we need to work hard to do, is to see people the way God sees them. And I mean, as we go about our day-to-day tasks, oftentimes we just are not looking at people like we should. They're just obstacles in our way sometimes, right? Or we don't really think about why God puts us where we are, when we are, around the people we are. So are around. So oftentimes we just forget and we lose sight. And we do not make the most of our time, as the Bible tells us, right? Make the most of your time. Be wise with your time. Now, I think the wisest we can be with our time, if we are called to be disciples of the Lord, is to be disciple makers of the Lord. Amen? If you are not trying to be a disciple maker of the Lord, then you may not be a disciple yourself. All right? Actually, that's a nice way of saying you are not a disciple yourself, all right? Because the fact is, we are to be, if we're going to follow the message of Christ and follow the man of Christ, all he went about doing, right, is helping people. Yes, he healed people, but really that was always to show who he was and to confirm the message. So the fact is, that's all he really was about, was helping people and get them closer to the Lord, right? Being the person who stands in the gap so he could helpfully bring that person closer to the Lord's truths, the Lord's principles, and hopefully the Lord's salvation. And that's how we ought to be today. So if you're in this crowd and maybe, you know, you've been a Christian for a long time, but you have not taken evangelism seriously, guess what? You have missed the mark greatly, all right? But that's okay, because you're still alive, and that means God is still giving you a chance, all right, to get on that proper path. So the first thing I want to say is that we need to look around. All right, when you leave this place, wherever you're at, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, because oftentimes we need to start at home, all right? But we need to be looking at people the way God sees them. And how does God see them? He sees through their heart. Now, we don't know people's hearts, but he sees the potential in people. And we need to see the potential in people, too. So everybody that we come across, we need to look at, they could potentially be a Christian one day. They could be a striver in the army of Christ someday. I don't care if it's the person ringing you out at the grocery store. I don't care if it's the person you pay to mow your lawn. Guess what? They are a human being. They are a person that Christ died for. And I know sometimes we think, well, somebody else will get that person, right? Or somebody, I don't know, especially if they don't look like us, maybe not be the same color of us. We feel like we could put that off and somebody else will get that individual. But the fact is, God has placed them in your life for a reason. And we need to look at that, all right? But anyway, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And we want to break this verse down. I'm going to look at some evangelism myths and some evangelism truths. So we're going to look in this scripture that is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It was read earlier. You guys aren't new to this. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. It says, "But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully." Do it in love, right? In verse number 16 says, and see to it that your conscience is entirely clear or unimpaired, so that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives. Amen. All right. So we're going to look at some myths, all right, and hopefully, I'm sure these are some myths you guys heard before. Some of you guys may think some of these things, all right, but we're going to bust some of those myths today, and this scripture will break them down, all right? So first thing it says, always be prepared to give an answer, right, or to give a logical defense. The Amplified breaks it down, and I like that, logical, because all defenses are not logical, right? You can make a defense, but that does not mean it makes sense, all right? And a Christian needs to make sense. Well, it's interesting enough that we have a lot of people in the world who call themselves Christians that don't make a lot of sense, right? Their foundation of faith does not even make a lot of sense. They'll tell you something like, well, how'd you come to Christ? Well, you know, it was a dream. The Lord, I just felt a dream, or I felt a feeling and things like that. But it's nothing concrete, right? It's nothing where you can say, aha, that is something that is fact. If it's based on some feelings that you might have felt someday, guess what? Those feelings come and go, right? If it's based on something, some dream, guess what? I had all kinds of weird dreams. And if I came out here, I would be dressed as a Power Ranger right now, all right, if I obeyed some of those dreams I had, all right? Because in those dreams, you know, you have some wacky dreams. But people follow those things, and they come to some sort of faith based on those dreams, all right? Our faith needs to be locked in reality. And when we're talking to individuals, guess what? There are people who want some logical answers. And when we bring logical answers to life's problems, guess what? It makes them be able to see clearly. And they're not looking at us as one of those weirdos. You understand what I'm saying? Because Christians oftentimes, or those who call themselves Christians oftentimes, make other Christians look bad because they go out there and they're the most outspoken in the world. But they're saying some of the wildest and craziest stuff, right? Or they're just blurting out, I don't know, random things, random sayings, but they don't have concrete application in people's lives, so they can't relate. You guys understand what I'm saying? All right, but anyway, let's go through some of these evangelism myths. So one of the first myths is it's the pastor's job. You guys might have heard that, or you might have thought that. It's not my job. I mean, we pay the preacher to do that. They're supposed to be the one going out there teaching and bringing people into Christ. Well, I must tell you, if you look at 1 Peter and you look at the first verse in 1 Peter, you'll see who Peter was written to. And it was not written to the pastor or just the preacher or just the minister of a congregation. All right. Actually, if you just read that, it tells us who it's written to. And it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect, the exiles of the dispersion scattered abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated by the Spirit. So anyway, he's saying he's writing to those who are scattered abroad. Those Christians that were getting persecuted. They were running for their lives. And in that, guess what? That's one of the ways that Christianity spread. They did not close their mouths. When they went different places, they spoke the gospel news. They could not shut them up. Now, they might have got them out of one territory, but guess what? They still were teaching the gospel to the next territory that they went in. The fact is, this is called for everyone who is a believer in Christ to do the same thing, all right? So again, it's not just the preacher's job. It's not just you say, well, that's what we pay them for. No, all right? One of the things you pay them for is to help you get better at spreading the gospel. So hopefully we are all trying to get better and always helping ourselves, not just wanting to be helped by others, but helping ourselves by coming to a better knowledge of the truth and coming up with ways that we can logically express those truths and impress upon people's lives those spiritual truths, all right? So it is not just a description of the pastor. It is a description of every disciple of the Lord. How about this myth? Witnessing is just an activity you do. You know, you get in a witnessing mode. I'm doing it today, right? Today is my witnessing day, or I'm about to go about my witnessing. Well, I must say, if it says always be prepared to give an answer, that means that it's a way of life. Discipleship is a way of life. So if you are being a disciple, your lifestyle hopefully is about bringing others to Christ. That means when you wake up, you're not just thinking about brushing your teeth, all right, washing your face, eating some food, and going out doing your thing. You are thinking and processing the world the way God would like you to process it, which is, I put you here for another day. Now, you may not make it through the whole day. Some of us, right? You never know when your time is going to go. We know that. You may not make it through the whole day, but we need to wake up saying, okay, I have some time left. I don't know how long my time is, but I'm going to think about this life the right way, which is I'm going about it knowing that life is fragile, right? We could be taken from it at any moment, but I want to make sure that he sees me and knows that I put the kingdom first. I'm about people building. That's what kingdom building is about, right? Amen. The kingdom is the people. So we need to be building up people. And that's how you build up the kingdom. How about this? I prefer to let my life do the talking. You all hear that? And you might be one of those people. I know naturally I am not an extrovert. I'm more of an introvert because I like the things I like. And, you know, I could be entertained by those things. But I don't need people around often, all right? But a lot of us Christians tend to be that way. We're more introverted, all right? And we feel like, well, you know, they're gifted at speaking out. So they have that gift. I'm just going to do good deeds. And, you know, hey, that's my evangelism. No, again, listen, he says, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have. So, yes, you can say you prefer to let your talking do it, but we need to add words to our deeds. There has to be words to our deeds, and we have to be humble and have loving attitudes. And I believe that is how we are impressing on not just our good deeds, but again, when people ask, why do you do those good deeds? You need to be ready to say something, right? You need to be ready to say something. How about this? Nobody is interested in the gospel. Yeah. In some places, it seems like nobody is interested in the gospel. Some places. But here's the thing. Number one, sometimes it may not be the gospel. Sometimes it's your style. Sometimes your style of or your way of representing somebody, listen, it could be the best thing on earth. But if I pay you to represent and do a commercial and you do a poor commercial of it, you don't blame the product. I blame you. I'm not taking the product off the shelf. I'm going to get another representative to represent me the right way. Oftentimes, it is how we present the gospel. You know, we speak in a certain language that we expect unbelievers to already know, right? We speak in an Elizabethan, right? King James Version style sometimes. Guess what? They don't understand that. You are speaking another language to them. Sometimes we just come off like we're holier than thou. You know, they have so much catching up to do. We're up here, they're down there. We have to be very careful how we present the gospel message. Oftentimes, they are interested in the gospel, but they're not interested in the way you are presenting the good news, all right? And sometimes you can present it in a way that is not even good news. It comes off as offensive news. So we want to make sure that we do that in the right way. But people are interested in a life that's being transformed by the gospel. They are. People are still interested in that. So you can say, hey, they're not interested, but I'm telling you, when they see your deeds matching your words, they will be more interested in the gospel message. It just works that way. How about this? Christians spread the gospel best by inviting Christians to religious gatherings. Well, again, that's a very good thing, and I think all of us need to start on doing that if you haven't already. You need to be inviting. Invite people wherever you go. If you need special cards to do it, do it. But guess what? This is your full-time job, people. It's your full-time job. So that means we need to put some effort in it, right? We need to come up with some schemes to do it, right? We ought to be fishes of men. So that means we have to come up with some ways to catch fish. Some fish are in different ponds, all right? But either way, we're not changing the message. We just apply it differently to different people. Knowing their religious background helps, right? Knowing some of what they care about helps. Now, again, we're not Jesus. Jesus knew what people cared about. We can read that. He knew their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. We don't know that, but we can ask people, right? We can talk to people. We can find out what their needs are. We can find out where their mind and their worries are spent mostly. And guess what? We could attack them with the gospel. We can attack them with the gospel. Now, I shouldn't say attack them, but I mean, we should apply the gospel in those situations. You hear me? Everybody understand what I'm saying here? All right, you guys looking a little dead today. I don't know. What is it? What is it, man? You guys wake up. Do you need to do some stretches? Some calisthenics? What do we need to do here, all right? All right, I understand. Evangelism, people don't get excited about that, but you should. I know it's saying, well, it's something you must do. Something I must do? That's, I owe Jesus my life. I am standing here because of him. It's not a job to me. This isn't a job. I owe him this. So look, you guys should be smiling when you hear about evangelism. You guys should be like, yes, more ways to bring people. Listen, look at what we're looking at. A lot of emptiness here, right? You telling me you can't be doing better? You telling me you can't be inviting more? See, I believe we're not spreading our seed as liberally as we need to. We're holding back sometimes. I don't know why. Maybe you feel like, I'm afraid of how they're going to look at me. I'm afraid of how they're going to treat me. I'm afraid of how they're going to talk to me. I may not get invited to certain things when they know what I'm really about. Throw out the invite. When you know somebody especially is looking for something, throw out the invite. You do not run out of invitations. Thank God. You just don't. And when you do the inviting, guess what? You've done part of your service. And they have to do their part. But definitely do your part so that God smiles on you. Amen. So Christians spread the gospel best by inviting Christians to religious gatherings. Well, that helps, but disciples spread the gospel most by effectively breaking out of their church groups and permeating through the rest of the world. We got to permeate through the rest of the world. If you spend all your time around Christians, who's going to be asking you questions, right? Just other Christians. Why do you do what you do, right? No, you got to be out there with people who don't know Jesus so they can ask, why do you do what you do? Why do you go out your way to care about people like you do? Why do you give people the benefit of the doubt like you do, right? So you have to be out. I'm not saying you have to indulge in the things they indulge in, but you can be around them. You can have influence on them without them influencing you. We have to find ways to do that, but you can't be just around church folk. We got to get out in the world. All right, next thing, evangelism means confronting people, usually strangers in a hard-hitting, or usually awkward, offensive, and abrasive way. Y'all know what I mean. Y'all seen it sometimes. I've been accused of being like this before. Well, you know, I accuse myself of being like this, I would say. Where you know, you could come off a certain way where it's like, just take it at this time. If you don't take it at this time, you aren't meant for the gospel. You aren't ready, you know? And you come in a way like, man, if you don't get it right now, you're never going to get it. We got to be patient, right? We got to be patient. Do you understand that on average, I just in my studies, and I don't know how they came up with these figures, all right? But it's going to take about 5 different instances of you talking to a person where they come to really understand and maybe believe that truth. Oftentimes, it takes 5 times of either meeting or just having discussions. It's not going to happen that quickly. And guess what? I encourage people to not be gullible. I encourage people to ask questions. They ought to ask questions. And we don't want to be afraid of those questions. If we don't know the answer, just say, you know what? You're going to make me a better Christian. I'm going to find out that answer and I'm coming back to you. But sometimes we're just afraid of them asking questions, and we don't want to evangelize because we're afraid what they're going to come back with, right? How do you know that Jesus, you know, rose from the dead? How do you know? You start sweating, right? Then you're like, you're just supposed to believe it, all right? But we have to be able to give evidence, all right? And if you don't have any evidence of why you believe what you believe, guess what? Somebody else can come out of another religion and take you right out with some smooth talk. So you need to believe why you need to know why you believe, and you have to stand firm in that. But trust me, It's going to take some time. It's going to take some gentleness. It's going to take, I mean, listen, it's going to take sensitivity. You just got to think about yourself before you came to Christ. How would you have wanted somebody to approach you, right? With all your questions, with the things you didn't know or the things that you thought you know, but you didn't know, right? How would you want to be approached? You got to think about that. And if you don't put yourself in the mind of a fish, how are you going to catch fish? Again, you can't be thinking just like a fisher and expect yourself to catch some fish. So again, you have to think like your target audience. How would they like this presented in a way, right? And again, we're not changing the message. I'm being very cautious to say that. We're not changing the message, all right? But we have to have strategy. Jesus did not come the same way to everybody the same way. Again, he understood where they were in their life. And he took them from where they were. He didn't start all the way back. If they knew some things, guess what? He just started where they already knew some things. But he applied the gospel in the way that they needed most. And that's what we need to do today. Again, we're following the Christ. We're following the Master. So we have to do it the way he does it. So that's why it tells us to do it in gentleness and respect. All right, another myth. A witness should have it all together. You know, I hear some people say, I just feel like I'm not ready. I don't have my life all together yet to be speaking to somebody else, right? But if you call yourself a Christian, you have enough. You're supposed to know Christ. And if you know Christ, you have enough to tell other people. So it's not about having your life all together. A witness should be authentic. They need to be real. They need to share their own struggles. If you come off as a plastic figure who has no heart, has no struggle, how can they relate to that? Again, they are interested in a life being transformed by the gospel. Now, they're not interested in someone who looks so much like them that they're like, well, what's the difference, right? You do all the same things as me. I'm not saying that, but we need to be able to share where Christ has brought you a mighty long way. Amen. You may not talk the same way you talked before. You may not just look at people the same way you looked at before. You may not have had the patience that you had before. You may not have the boldness, the courage that you have now. But you owe that to God and not to yourself. Amen? So when we talk to people about it and they see you. Now, number one, you have to be living it. Again, it goes back to living it. If somebody on your job gets some bad news and you act the same way as them, you start cursing out the boss and saying things like that, talking bad about people around them, guess what? They are going to feel the same way as you, and they're not going to think any different about you. So it's a fine line of being different, and we have to be different. We have to stand out. We have to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. But we need to be able to share with people, listen, I'm not that different from you, all right? The Lord has taken me a long way, but he wants to do the same with you. But I'm still struggling, and you can share your struggles. That makes you authentic. That makes you real. And then you know that, guess what? You got to let them know, hey, you can help me just like I help you. You can. We all need that, and I think they will understand that, all right? They need to know that we are real people. We should use whatever means, you know, by any means necessary to get people up in here. Well, that's a myth, because we should not use it. He said, that's right. I know it sounds good, but that actually is a myth. You know, do all kinds of things to get people in the building. No, right? We can find ways to fill this place up if we wanted to, but they might not be godly ways. You understand what I'm saying? Or they may not be God-focused. We have all kinds of events, right, to get people, lure them in, all right? But it's not any means necessary, all right? We should always be honest and ethical in our interactions with unbelievers. We need to treat them with the same respect that we want to receive. But we do not go about just any old way, all right, getting people in here. Again, our strategy needs to be based on honesty. We don't need to be telling people, hey, when you come to Christ, your life is going to be a blast. Everything just changes one day. You know, no. Prosperity and all that things. No, we need to tell them the real. Listen, your life does not get much better, all right? When you get closer to Christ, now you look at things better, you look at things different, and you are more blessed in that. But don't think that he's going to take you out of all your problems, all your situations. No, He is going to stand with you through those problems and those situations. See, that's a different type of gospel. But that's the real gospel, right? He tells me, he told him, he prepared him. Listen, you need to count the cost. Is your life in heaven worth it, though? Yeah, it is. It is. It's worth any struggle that you're going to go through for Christ on this world, in this world. But we need to let people need, people need to know. Listen, the struggle is real out here, all right? And when you are in the army of Christ, guess what? It's called an army for a reason. There is a fight. And the stronger you get in Christ, guess what? Your struggle, sometime that can be greater, right? But thank God that he is standing with us, for us, in front of us, and he already knows the outcome of those situations. So again, don't be lying to people, trying to make it sound sweeter than it is, all right? The Christian life is great, but it's not great in the worldly sense. You know what I'm saying? Where we try to get their worldly sensations going. No, we need to tell them the truth about that. So it's not by whatever means necessary, right? Success in sharing your faith. It means that a non-Christian prays the sinner's prayer. Well, y'all know that ain't about that in this place, right? Y'all know that. The Bible says, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Success in sharing your faith. It means that good God works in your hearts in a way and in his time using our witness as he sees fit. It's not going to be up to you and your timing. Again, it's going to be how God sees fit. His will, his way. Yeah, your will and your way may be immediate success, but that does not mean success. Success means that you play your part. That's what it means. It means success for you, all right? It doesn't ultimately mean success for that person that you are trying to share the gospel with, trying to get them to say, you know, just come to Christ in the quickest way as possible. No, again, it may take some time. It may take you watering, somebody else watering, somebody else watering. It may take 13 years from now, but guess what? You may not be around to see it. But you have done your part. God is still calling you a good and faithful servant. And that's what it's about. So again, when we get back to this, it says, always be prepared to give an answer. Number one, logical answer. Something that is making sense. Something that they can understand. Something that they will say, okay, I never thought about it that way. But I guess I could see that. You know, I guess I could see that. It has to be somewhere where we say to everyone who asks to give a reason for our hope that we have within us. But do this with gentleness and respect. We always have to be gentle, respectful, patient, sensitive, and we need to be keeping a clear conscience when we're doing it. That means walking a life that just shows that you're about that life, that shows that you are about people. And that you spend your time wanting to help people, bring them closer to Christ. If you don't have that good conscience, people gonna see it. They're gonna see it. You're gonna come off like a salesman. You're gonna come off like you're just selling something that you can't even afford yourself. You've seen that before, right? People come to you trying to sell you a car, they can't afford it themselves. You're like, now would you buy that car? Can you afford all that gas? We're not talking about me. We're talking about you here. You all know how I be sometimes when those salesmen come to you. They not telling the truth all the time, right? They're trying to get you in it. But they can tell. And like I can tell when a salesman is up that kind of way, trying to get me to buy something that they wouldn't buy themselves. So anyway, we need to be real. We need to be legit. And basically all I'm saying is our audio has to match our video. Both ways, our video, walking in good deeds, yes, but our good deeds can't do all the talking. We need to be able to add an answer, a good, humble answer to those deeds. And on the other end, yeah, our talk. Some of us talk a good talk, but we haven't been walking a good walk. Make sure that your video is matching your audio. And that is how you can be a good fisher of men. I believe that those myths, you know, you might have heard them, and some of them you might have thought yourself. But hopefully we had dispelled some of those myths by looking deeper into this scripture. And you can find more application in this scripture, definitely. But I just wanted to make sure I shared some things that I think hopefully get us thinking more about what our Great Commission is. Just thinking about what our life is really all about. If you died today, what would be your life's journey? What would somebody else say about you when you left this place? Would it be, well, he had a nice house, he had a nice car, he worked very hard for it, he spent most of his time at work, and I don't think he invited anybody. I had never seen anybody come to the church, but he worked with a lot of people. Listen, you were around people, you should be inviting so much that there should be someone who says yes. Someone should say yes every now and again. So if you don't got no visitor, no time, you are not inviting enough. You need to be inviting people left, right, front, and center. That don't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot of effort. But hopefully you can get a Bible study in. Hopefully you can share more. But if you can and you don't have the time at the moment, at least put it out there where you attend church. Ask them, hey, come worship with me. Come worship with me one time. At least see what we're all about in the Stony Island Church of Christ. That's what it's all about. So again, that didn't take a long time, I don't think, to get across, all right? But I think we ought to understand, again, our life's work, hopefully. Our life's work, hopefully. Something that, you know, the people of this earth may not put it on your tombstone, but hopefully God can put it on your eternal dwelling place, where it says that he was about his Father's business at all times, all days, every day. Amen? Amen. Maybe you have not heard the gospel. What we're talking all about is sharing the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for you. Why did he die for you? Well, it's because your sin had put you in a place where his wrath, you are an enemy of your own creator. And when you are an enemy of your own creator, yeah, you still get some blessings only because God says that he still loves you, but he can't stand the wickedness that is in you. And he cannot be around the wickedness that you have in you. Therefore, he had to find a way. And when I say find a way, he already had the way. He had the way since the beginning. And his way was to put his own son on the cross for your sins, to show you how much he loved you. He gave us himself. Jesus Christ, the one who created you, came to this earth. He didn't just create you. He wants to recreate you. He wants to make you a child of his once again. How do you do that? You believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the only one that could save you from your sins. Repent of your sins. That means turn from your sinful way of life. You're not going to be perfect, but you are striving to be perfect in the Lord. That's what repentance is all about. You have to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That is where all your sins are washed away. That is when he places you in his body, when you are a child of his. We call that the new birth, because all things come anew. Until you do that, you are still in your sins, and if you die in your sins, he has prepared a place away from him where it'd be gnashing of teeth. It'd be a lot of other wickedness in that place. You don't want to be in that place. Don't be in a place of torment. Come to the Lord where you have the chance. If you, maybe you have a child, you've been a child of God, but you have not taken your life seriously. You have not taken his calling seriously lately. You can still find redemption in him. Come back to him. Renew yourself. Just repent. Repent. Turn back to him and his kingdom. And he is there, standing with his arms, waiting to take you in. Whatever your need may be, as we stand and sing the song of invitation, I bid you to come. I bid you to come.